I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
One of the things that balloon caused was not so much that it got shot down, but I don't think the leadership knew where it was and knew what was in it and knew what was going on. I think it was more embarrassing than it was intentional. And so I'm hoping that over the next several months, I'll be meeting with Xi again and talking about legitimate differences we have, but also how those areas we can get along.
My gosh, there was President Biden saying, you know, I think that balloon that went across our nation was a mistake and embarrassing to China. They never intended for that to happen. Riddle me this. Do you buy that explanation? Well, here we are, June 19th. Now, Juneteenth is a very important date when it comes to the black community in general, because it has to do with the full word of the emancipation being delivered all the way down to Texas. We'll come to that later in this hour. But here we are, June 19, 2023. We are doing a live stream on Rumble, as we do during the noon hour from noon to two. You'll find us doing a live stream. And, of course, then you can also pull it up and watch live. Go to rumble.com, enter Larry Connors USA or News Talk STL. That'll take you right to our page, and you're in studio with us. Glad to have you. And if you can't do it live, well, then you can always pull it up later and watch it on a podcast through Rumble and or through Larry Connors USA for audio and or video. Glad to have you. So here was President Biden. This is such a silly dance. He, of course, sends Secretary of State Blinken finally over to China to meet with Premier Xi. You're believing that we actually had substantial talks and that Blinken actually met with Xi. Oh, he did, just kind of hi-bye type thing. But here is President Biden, I guess, trying to make things softer as they begin to approach each other so he can say, oh, you know, we know that balloon that they sent over, it was a mistake. They didn't really mean to. It just happened that way. And keep in mind, they want us still to believe that the balloon that passed over sensitive military installations in our nation did not transmit anything back to China. They say, we blocked it. It couldn't send anything out. I buy that just like I buy his story today that this was just a mistake by the Chinese. They never meant for that to go across our country. They never meant to put Chinese stations inside New York City and other major metropolitan areas so they could check upon Chinese citizens living here, and are you. They never meant to put installations down in Cuba to spy on the U.S. They're our best friends forever, if you listen to Biden. And, of course, all of this goes back to, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it right now, I'm just going to raise the issue, because I just cannot move past it. We don't know what kind of relationships Hunter Biden established on behalf of the Biden crime family with any other country in the world, including China. We don't know. All we do know is what's in our face. And, of course, we've got Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State, going to China, talking about the responsibility China has and we have. And I'm telling you, you listen to this, please do not fall asleep. I've got to let you hear some of it.
We've deepened our engagement and alignment with allies and partners around the world in ways that would have been unimaginable a few years ago. That's the backdrop for the relationship between the United States and the People's Republic of China, one of the most consequential in the world. Both the United States and China have an obligation to manage this relationship responsibly. Doing so serves the best interests of the United States, of China, indeed, of the world. We are clear-eyed about the challenges posed by the PRC. The United States will advance a vision for the future that we share with so many others, a free, open, stable, and prosperous world, with countries upholding and updating the rules-based order that has, for years, safeguarded peace and security globally.
I hope you're not asleep. That is the most boring presentation by a man who supposedly is representing the United States with China. The speech itself was dull and dry, but aside from that, the delivery, we could have gotten a third grader to do a better job orating the speech. There's no punch, there's no real passion, there's nothing but blah, blah, and blah. That's it. Now, let me make something clear. I do believe we need to have talks with China. I'm all for it, at a certain timing and with certain conditions, and making it clear that there will be no talks unless we're going to go down this road. I don't think the Biden administration made that, despite what you were hearing from Secretary of State Antony Blinken. In fact, he, according to the Associated Press, an actual meeting between Blinken and Xi had been expected, but neither side had confirmed it would happen until just an hour before the talks. But of course, it was seen as the key thing for him to actually be with Premier Xi. Well, it came and went so fast. You got this meeting between China and our U.S. representative talking about what we need to do with China and work together. China sits there and listens and smiles, and in their mind they're already saying, no, you don't get us, and we're certainly not going to get you. But at least dialogue is better than firing bullets. That I will agree with. And even Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, said, I am glad, his words, that the Secretary of State was visiting China. He said, and I'm quoting him again, I think despite our differences, despite the ratcheting up of rhetoric, I think diplomacy is important. And I agree with that. He went on to say, all through the Cold War, we tried to have diplomacy with Russia. We should continue to have diplomacy with China. I think we should have ongoing arms control talks, even despite of all the things and all the complaints. Look, I've got a lot of complaints about the leak from the Wuhan lab, but there's a lot of discussions and ongoing diplomacy that needs to occur. I think that's a good, balanced approach from Senator Rand Paul, and I accept it. But my problem is this administration just can't seem to get on track. I mean, the very moment Blinken is meeting with China, and you think we'd be discussing, why are you continuing to spy on us in so many different ways, setting up bases in Cuba? You send a balloon across our nation. You've got Chinese police stations inside our nation, and none of that was raised? Oh, well, that might make them upset. Listen to how Blinken described his meetings.
Here in Beijing, I had an important conversation with President Xi Jinping, and I had candid, substantive, and constructive discussions with my counterparts, Director Wang Yi and State Councilor Qin Gong. I appreciate the hospitality extended by our hosts. In every meeting, I stress that direct engagement and sustained communication at senior levels is the best way to responsibly manage our differences and ensure that competition does not veer into conflict. And I heard the same from my Chinese counterparts. We both agree on the need to stabilize our relationship.
No, actually, you walked away with a clear misunderstanding, Blinken, because according to the U.S.-China source, I said the China state broadcaster, quoting their spokesman, it is necessary to make a choice between dialogue and confrontation, cooperation or conflict. But then he added, we must reverse the downward spiral of China-U.S. relations. That's good. But then he also issued a warning on Taiwan, saying that's not going to be changing, and saying at that point, China has no room to compromise or concede. And the issue is that U.S. still really doesn't understand China. Well, K.T. McFarland, who was National Security Advisor at one time, said, you know, when you hear Blinken talk about he had a 30-minute discussion with Premier Xi, she said, not really. Look how she breaks it down.
Blinken got, you said, okay, a 30-minute meeting. Well, half of that meeting is taken up in translation. So it was a 15-minute meeting. And it's a lot of little microaggressions the Chinese do. They're not going to let Blinken in until the very last minute that he can meet with the Chinese president. And then when he meets with the Chinese president, he's kept in the waiting room for a while. And then he has basically what amounts to a photo op. They don't care. The Chinese are signaling what they're concerned with is their economy. An investment in China, manufacturing in China by American manufacturing companies, and they figure, well, you know what? The Elon Musks of the world and the Jamie Dimons of the world, they'll take care of the Biden administration. We're not going to worry about that so much. And then even when they made their statement, what did they say? America, you don't really understand China. You're making a lot of mistakes about China. When you come around, we can have a better relationship.
Yeah, when you come around, then we'll have a good discussion. A hard line from the U.S. would be a good idea here. But we go over there almost kowtowing to them and bowing down and please, please accept what we're trying to offer you. Oh, they'll take what we offer. Then they'll want more. Now, you heard her say about how the Chinese are also watching the Biden reelection campaign and how Biden is flailing in the wind. Despite the numbers, let's look at that issue.
Usually when people in the White House say it's a communication problem, it's not a communication problem. In this case, you have a guy who actually has some really strong economic indicators
He's
out there.
He's made history in this presidency.
You look at the bipartisan legislation being passed. You look at what's happened with the allies, the support not only for Ukraine, but NATO expanding beyond the dreams of any former president. You look at his outreach to Asia and our military strength in Asia. There are so many things.
So many things.
So that's one side of the story.
No, that's really the only side of the story, Joe Scarborough. But that's Joe Scarborough of MSNBC. He's got all of these pretty presents wrapped by Biden under the tree. They're all great things he's accomplished. Nobody wants to open the damn things. You know why? Because they're empty boxes. He's accomplished nothing. The only reference you heard Scarborough say, the things we have done that we never could have done in the past. You know who that's a reference to? Donald Trump. What was our relationship with China and Russia during the Trump years versus where we are now? And then, of course, Biden's issues are not just Republicans. They're not rhinos, even Republican in name only. They're certainly not MAGA Republicans. Biden's real issue right now is his own party.
I'm sure you've heard from Democrats like I've heard from Democrats. They all say, most of them say almost unanimously, I love Joe Biden. Joe Biden, I'll forever be grateful for him for what he did in 2020. He's been an incredible president. We need to find somebody else to be president. Everywhere we go, it upsets Mika very much.
Yes, it does.
It upsets her very much. But everywhere we go, even the most loyal person to the Democratic Party and Joe Biden will say that. And this continues to be a question hanging over the White House in the summer of 2023.
In the summer of 2023, they still don't have a hold on their own party. I'm going to spend more time in the next hour about some of the things that continue to nag at the heels of the Biden crime family and pretty soon will be full in their face and for the American public. Because information continues to come in from whistleblowers, documentation, stuff being vetted, and of course the FBI and the IRS, the Department of Justice, all of them continue to drag their feet. If we can just get them if we pull him, if we shove him, if we just get his fingertip across the finish line for the 2024 election, then we can go celebrate and let the hell break loose, just like they did with the Hunter Biden laptop. So I'll be getting into that more in the next hour. You don't want to miss that. But also, this issue again with China and how we're dealing with them. China's plans, we pointed out this before, they have long-range plans. They think so far ahead. This would be like putting Einstein up against a first grader. The child has limited ability, limited knowledge, and limited capacity, where Einstein is just over the top beyond most thinking. And I would agree, mine put me in the class with the first grader. But one man who has a very good insight on China, we've had on before, and we're going to have it back on here in a few moments. You also see him and hear him a lot on some of the national broadcast networks, the state-controlled media as well, because he knows of what he speaks. They may not like what he says sometimes, but they had to give him respect for his background and his knowledge. His name, Gordon G. Chang. If you want a real understanding of what China is still trying to do and how they've been hoodwinking Blinken on this trip, stand by. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. When I endorse a product, I want it to be a quality product I put my name behind. That's why I'm recommending when it comes to windows, you go to Renewal by Anderson. Start by calling 1-877-WINDOWS, 1-877-WINDOWS. They will start by finding out where you're losing energy, driving up cost in summer and winter. They have the nation's best warranty, 1-877-WINDOWS, or go to their website, rbastl.com. RBASTL.com.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Larry Connors USA.
My guest we've had on numerous times before, always glad to have him. The audience loves him, and of course we appreciate his expertise. Gordon G. Chang, you can find him on Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon is always glad to have you on board, sir.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Let's begin with your first impression of the so-called meeting that Blinken had with China representatives, as if he had actually talked to Premier Xi, and it looks like it's more like a photo op. Hello, goodbye, that's it.
This was not in the interest of the United States. So, for instance, even before the trip was officially announced, China was slighting our Secretary of State. They did that upon his arrival. They did it during the meeting with Xi Jinping. This was just one debacle after another. The Biden administration likes to say we need to maintain communication with China. But I don't really see what's the point of that, because that policy has been in effect for three decades, and it's produced these disastrous results like we just witnessed with this two-day trip to the Chinese capital.
But if you listen to the Secretary of State, we accomplished this, we did this, I mean, you know, had a good cordial meeting, we made our position very clear, and we all walked away much better.
I don't think so. I mean, what they did was they talked about talking. I mean, they didn't really come up with any stuff.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Go ahead. You're right.
And while we talk, by the way, we're not imposing costs on China for those things that it's doing. So, for instance, President Biden has not issued the long-awaited executive order prohibiting investment into China's tech sector, into artificial intelligence. We shouldn't be helping the Chinese military, but that's what we're doing with our money. And Biden can stop this, but he's not doing it because he's so focused on talking with Xi Jinping and with Chinese leaders.
But again, as you said, they're talking about talking, and to that extent, it amounts to nothing more than a photo op. But I will say, I've always believed that talking is better than shooting at each other. And Senator Rand Paul has taken that same approach, saying, I'm glad Blinken was visiting. He said, I just think despite our differences and the rhetoric, I think diplomacy is important. He said, but there are a lot of discussions that still need to occur. I don't think we even got to the door on those discussions.
Yes, I mean, and the State Department's position on this, it sounds good to the ear, but we know that over the course of decades that our trying to maintain these communication links has not worked to our benefit. So the question is, we need to try something new. We need to try something that hasn't continually failed for three decades. And if we don't change our policies, we are going to be in, I think, as Henry Kissinger said, war. Kissinger just said that war is probable. And he said something's got to change for us to avoid war. Well, what Blinken and Biden are doing, I think, are accelerating war by showing the United States is weak and convincing Xi Jinping he can do whatever he wants. So Biden is opening the door to war, just like he opened the door to war in Ukraine. There would be no war in Ukraine if Biden didn't say it was okay to have a minor incursion.
Right.
And some of the other silly things that he did before the invasion on February 24th of last year.
And again, I'm not even trying to talk politics. We're just talking about stature and approach between the Trump administration, the Obama administration, now the Biden administration. I don't think the incursion would have started with Russia going in this second time. And I certainly don't think we'd be in this basic appeasement process with China. Am I wrong?
You're right. I mean, history is the guide. History tells us that Russia took Crimea in 2014 during the Obama administration. Despite all of the criticism of Trump, there was no invasion of Ukraine. And we know that in the Biden administration, in the first few months, in the second month of the Biden administration, there was the full-scale invasion of Ukraine by Vladimir Putin. So this is, you know, history tells us that whatever one thinks of Trump policy, it actually worked.
The other thing you mentioned, we've got to do something different, such as?
I think what we need to do is start imposing all those costs on China. We need to stop giving incentives to Beijing to act belligerently. Reuters reported that just a few days after that spy balloon, we shot it down, that the State Department decided to delay imposing measures that had already been scheduled because they didn't want to heighten tensions with China. Well, that's basically giving Beijing an incentive to engage in even more belligerent behavior. So we got to stop doing that. And we now need to start defending ourselves because war could occur at any time, which means that we need to accelerate preparations for our military, and we need to get America's civilians ready for war. I know that sounds harsh.
It's almost tantamount to, you're not trying to spark panic, but you're saying you've got to be ready.
Absolutely. China's mobilizing its civilians for war. These guys are serious. They may not actually go to war. We don't know what the future holds, but they're making every preparation to get ready for it, and we need to do the same thing. And by the way, we have all these Chinese nationals coming across our border.
Right.
And some of them appear to be People's Liberation Army. Some of them may be Ministry of State Security. But these guys look like saboteurs. And the questions that the American people need to ask us on the first day of a war with China, are these guys going to be attacking our grid? Are they going to be poisoning our water? Are they going to be assassinating our officials? Are they going to set wildfires? These are questions that the Biden administration is not asking because it's not tracking this uncontrolled migration into the United States.
I agree, and I pointed that out numerous times. There are numerous videos of Chinese military-age men, single, coming across the border as if, you know, maybe they're trying to flee the dictatorship of China, or then again, they're here on orders and instructions and waiting for that word and mission to go out. The other thing you mentioned, the balloon, before you joined us, is replaying a clip of Biden trying to say, I don't think they really meant for it to go over us, is a mistake, and it's more of an embarrassment to China. What a piece of horse hockey.
Well, we do not need Communist Party talking points from the Oval Office. Now, a couple other things. You know, the issue is, has Chinese money corrupted Biden? Well, if you're trying to convince the American public that you took a bribe from Beijing, well, the thing you shouldn't be doing is amplifying the Communist Party talking points, which is exactly what Biden is doing. It's not his job to sugarcoat the Communist Party. It's his job to defend the American Republic. That's his most solemn constitutional duty. He's failing to do that. He's failing to protect the United States. And the American people now have a legitimate question. Why? And if it's money, then we know what we have to do. We have to get rid of Biden. We have to impeach him and convict him.
But you're not going to be able to do it with the current Senate House setup. But the other part of that equation is the state-controlled media. As far as they are concerned, the Biden story doesn't even exist about any bribery money.
If the House Oversight Committee has proof that there is money that went from a Chinese entity to Joe Biden's personal bank account, then I think that the Senate will vote to convict.
Well, I would hope
now,
you'd
a lot of people
right.
I've heard, I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I've heard a lot of Republicans say, we'd rather run against Joe Biden than Kamala Harris. And very well, that may be right from the Republican Party point of view. But if the President of the United States is an agent of the Communist Party.
Well, I guess we lost him. Right as he said, if the President of the United States is an agent of the Communist Party. What timing? Just coinky dinky. We're not going to have time to get him back on, but I'll have to send him a text and thank him. He raised some very good points, obviously, and I think points that we've also discussed. But I love his remark that our president, regardless of his politics, let's put Biden aside. Let's just think about that White House, that Oval Office, our commander-in-chief, should not be sugarcoating what we're facing, and also at the same time should not serve as an additional PR spokesman for the Chinese Communist Party. This is not what we're supposed to be doing. And I stress to you, I don't care about your politics or who the president is. That is not his job. His job is this nation, first and foremost and only. Coming up, the woke crowd might actually be turning and eating itself. Wouldn't that be a shame? Stand by, please. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Starting in 2024, films will be required to meet new inclusion standards to be eligible for the Academy Awards for Best Picture. They'll have to have a certain percentage of actors or crew from underrepresented racial and ethnic groups. What do you think of these new inclusion standards for films?
They make me vomit.
That's about as direct you can make it. They make me vomit. The answer was provided by Richard Dreyfuss. And the interviewer with Blaze was raising the question about some of these new standards that must be met if you're going to even qualify for an Oscar. Doesn't mean you'll win, but you can't even be nominated if you don't meet some of these new standards. And I'm telling you, members of Hollywood are beginning to push back about this in total. You're going to hear more from Richard Dreyfuss in a moment, but I'm looking at some of the other stuff. Let me give you another example. She's considered a woke actress, Jamil, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I don't know her that well. She's known for her starring role in The Good Place. Never saw it. Anyway, in an Instagram post over the weekend, she suggested that, quote, non-binary people have award categories of their own. You know why? As she says, so that women do not lose out. Once again, it's a matter of women being thrown under the bus in all this push for LGBTQ plus forever. She says in her statement, would it not be better to give non-binary people their own category rather than open the door for Hollywood to completely shut out women, given the known disproportionate amount of men versus women winning at award shows? She goes on and saying, if we now have enough non-binary talent to restructure entire award shows, which is great, then we should add rather than run the accidental risk of erasing. No, stop for a second. That's a very poignant remark, isn't it? May I read it again? And again, this is woke actress. She considers herself woke. Jamil from The Good Place. She says, if we have enough non-binary talent to restructure entire award shows, which is great, then should we add rather than run the accidental risk of erasing? And that's what's been going on. We're just taking people in and wiping them out to make room for the others. It's musical chairs. When the music stops, you won't have a chair because they took your chair out. You were there to begin with, but you're not going to be there anymore. And she said, I say this as an audience member because I'm not going to be nominated for an Oscar anyway. I have no horse in this race. But this is Hollywood speaking out. She's also known as a She-Hulk actress. And she made that response to the Oscars looking to get rid of gendered acting awards. She went on to say, as we see with the director award, which is genderless, it's rare to even see a woman nominated, never mind win. Now, that's correct. The director is not male director, not female director. It's just the director award. Women have won, but not that many. Doesn't mean they're not that talented. It just depends upon who was up against him at one point. You know John Wayne, despite all of his acting in movies he's in, he got one Oscar. Do you know why that one Oscar? Now, here's where you folks can come in and say, oh, he's playing a handicapped man. He shouldn't have been doing that. He had a patch over one eye. Remember Rooster Cogburn? And he said, hell, if I'd known if I'd worn a patch over an eye, I'd worn one every movie, so I'd gotten an Oscar. But her point is, I want to open more doors and create more tables, not narrow the opportunities for everyone. So let's go back to the Richard Dreyfuss interview. And Richard Dreyfuss, again, you would know him most certainly from Jaws. I mean, he was the scientist that comes on board, curly haired, and it's well done movie from the beginning. He starred also in American Graffiti and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I'd forgotten about that. That was also very good. The Goodbye Girl, he did great. Stakeout. What about Bob? But Jaws was, I would say, the one because that makes him stand out to me, but that's not really the one he won an Academy Award for Best Actor. That was in 1977 for The Good Girl, or rather The Goodbye Girl. So at the time, he was the youngest ever actor, age 30, to win. Had also been nominated in the same category for Mr. Holland's Opus 1995, where he's a band director. Now, what if they also start saying, you know, we're going to have for men age 30 and under, best actor, men 31 and older. I mean, do you really want to go down that road to keep breaking and segregating? I thought the whole idea was diversity, equality, and inclusion. They're not including, they're excluding, and women in particular. Let's go back to Richard Dreyfuss and his remark about having all these new categories if you're even going to be nominated.
They make me vomit.
Why?
Because this is an art form. It's also a form of commerce, and it makes money, but it's an art. And no one should be telling me, as an artist, that I have to give in to the latest, most current idea of what morality is. And what are we risking? Are we really risking hurting people's feelings? You can't legislate that. And you have to let life be life. And I'm sorry, I don't think that there's a minority or a majority in the country that has to be catered to like that.
But we've been doing that. And these are folks in Hollywood now speaking out, and I'm glad. Now, it may be because, well, now it's aimed at us. We weren't going to be the target. All those people are going to be the target. No, you're the target as well now. And again, back to the remarks of Jamila Jamil. Leftists have viewed her as a steady ally because she's been at the forefront of virtually every woke cause, from abortion to LGBTQ, QQ1, AAP, S plus, whatever. And she said some of these responses are outrage, confusion, disgust, general disappointment. One Instagram user said, "This is frankly a sad take. I don't honestly know the right answer to this situation, but separating non-binary people like me is a bad idea. We shouldn't be forced to choose a side or be put in our own category like we're being othered." But you are being othered. You chose to be othered. That's what you wanted to be, othered. Then continues, "We do not fit into the binary idea of men and women categories." Another one said, "This is a good conversation generator, but I think it misses the point. Non-binary is not a third gender. There are many gender identities within that umbrella." So what is it? Are you different or you're not? Jamil, by that point, said, you know, if we do athlete of the year without gender, it is highly unlikely that aside from the odd year of affirmative action for optics, anyone other than a cis man is going to win because they're going to dominate that world. Back to Richard Dreyfuss on the whole idea of all these new standards are going to impose it. You've got a list. If you're going to put your movie up for a nomination for an Academy Award, you've got a list how many are handicapped, how many are of a certain color, how many of a certain ethnicity, how many of this, and how many of gender. I mean, you got to cover a spectrum. You can't just go find the best person for the job, Richard Dreyfuss.
Laurence Olivier. was the last white actor to play Othello. And he did it in 1965. And he did it in blackface. And he played a black man brilliantly. Am I being told that I will never have a chance to play a black man? Is someone else being told that if they're not Jewish, they shouldn't play The Merchant of Venice?
Mm-hmm.
Are we crazy? Do we not know that art is art? This is so patronizing. It's so thoughtless and treating people like children.
That's what they're doing, is treating you like children. Now, if you're supposed to be casting someone for a four-year-old child, can I come and pretend? Can I do that part? Why not? Why can't I? Well, Larry, you're not 4 years old. Well, what difference does it make? And his point about if he could never play a black man like to do Othello, like Laurence Olivier did, or that a black person play a white, we basically have that with Hamilton on stage, do we not? A black man portraying, and many black characters portraying, the fathers of our country who are all white. I don't have a problem with it. They want to present it that way. It's an art form. Accept it for art. And then, of course, we have those that still insist this is a systemically racist country. We're going to fight back on that issue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So, presidential candidate, Senator Tim Scott, Republican of South Carolina, this weekend, said that in his opinion, racism in America is not an issue. Well, the Fox host asked, what about those who say that should be skeptical of candidates who don't acknowledge and address hundreds of years of racism? And you, Senator Scott, have talked about your own experiences being followed by store clerks, being pulled over, having a hard time sometimes getting the Capitol, assessing you're actually a senator. Do those make the experiences and the points made previously by former President Obama? He said absolutely not. There's no higher compliment than to be attacked by President Obama. When Democrats feel threatened, they pull out, drag out the former president, have him make some negative comments about someone running, hoping their numbers will go down. It won't happen. We mentioned that today is Juneteenth. Now, for a lot of folks, you might not understand the meaning of that. It is a nationally declared holiday, as by President Obama. You're going to find banks closed, but you didn't know why the banks are closed. There's going to be no mail delivery. It's a federal holiday. A lot of people are not taking it. It's not to say they don't appreciate or honor it. They just don't, and maybe they're an employee that you know, whatever their business is, we need you here. You're black, white, yellow, you're hired for the job today. But it is a federal holiday. I guess some would testify that they had a reason to be off and they didn't get it. It is a newest federal holiday. It commemorates the emancipation of enslaved black America. Why Juneteenth? Now, by the way, President Biden actually signed the bill creating the holiday in 2021. I should say Obama had proposed it, Biden ended up signing it. Major Gordon Granger, finally, 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was issued, he got down to Galveston, Texas, the southernmost part of Texas, and told those folks there that you are now free men. You're no longer slaves. It is over. The war is over. The president's declared it, and you are no longer slaves. That was Juneteenth, June 19th, but it's often been referred to as Juneteenth. embracing and commemorating the emancipation of the enslaved African Americans. See, you forget how fast news travels nowadays. Back then, it, you know, telegraph might get it there a little quicker, horseback, Pony Express. So it was 2 years after it was actually slaves were freed before those in Galveston area knew it. It's worth noting and marking and remembering as history. Don't forget our pledge, one nation under God.